Welcome to the Metal Hammer Podcast, episode 2. We are coming at you live on... It's Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's.
Happy Valentine's Day, guys.
Oh, no.
May love and metal fill your world. I'm Mo. I'm here, as always, with Luke and Eleanor. It's been a busy week. We've been going to some gigs. What have we been up to? We went to Marmoset's last week, didn't we? That was an interesting one.
Yeah, it was... Oh.
I backed that noise. Yeah, it was a funny one. They played... Is it still called Yulu?
The Student Union Central.
Near Euston Square, that one. And it was a funny one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, because we were so excited about it, and because the new album, you know, is pretty great, and it's like, okay, they're doing a fairly small venue, they could probably do bigger, this will be a lot of fun. And the sound was dog shit.
Sound was really bad. First song in, it was just kind of all over the place, wasn't it?
Yeah, and you could tell that they knew they didn't sound great, and it just... Yeah, all the fun and excitement was just sucked out of the room after about 3 songs. Well, it was where we were, like down on the floor in the pit.
In the VIP balcony, guys.
Of course, it was kicking off. Yeah, the crowd were loving it, but it was just such a shame.
If you were just watching a video of that gig with no sound, you probably would have thought it was amazing just because the crowd was so into it, which is a good sign. Like, they were all over the new material. You can tell that album's already really like getting people excited. Just not the best, almost certainly not the best Marmoset's gig we'll see on this cycle.
No, definitely not. I'm sure every other gig on that tour was great. It was just felt like something was really off that night. But was it called Major System Error? Absolutely wicked.
Definitely going to be in their set list for a long time to come. So never mind. I'm sure we'll get another chance to see him soon. On Sunday night, Ellen and I went to see Arch Enemy. That's pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really good. I'd never seen him with Alyssa before.
I hadn't either, actually. Just kept missing him, but we said that right.
She was really cool. Loads of high kicks, jumping off things, loads of energy.
Loving the high kicks.
I was very excited by the high kicks.
Are you an Arch Enemy fan? Because you seem to know more songs than I thought you would. Not to sound like a twat, but me and me have never really talked about Arch Enemy before. They used to be one of my proper favourite metal bands.
I'd say just a really casual Arch Enemy lister. I've never really been very obsessed with them or anything like that. But whenever one of the big songs like We Will Rise or something is on, I'll get a bit excited.
Yeah, Arch Enemy were one of those bands. It was kind of them in Flames and Soilwork that really took me from, you know, more mainstream metal, everything from new metal to Manson and the old school stuff into the more extreme stuff. So I was properly obsessed with Arch Enemy for a long time. And I think, you know, I don't think they've made their classic album Under Elisa yet, if I'm being honest. I've liked both of them, but I think the singles have stood out a lot on those two albums. But they were fucking great on Sunday, man. Like, the songs, really the new songs did sound really good. Going into Ravenous 2 songs in was just awesome. They've always been one of the tightest bands in metal, and I definitely do think Elisa's brought something a bit different to them. They're just a bit more vibrant, a bit more exciting than they were, I think.
Well, like you mentioned Soilwork and In Flames, and I've always loved those bands, kind of over Arch Enemy, but having seen them at the weekend, I'm definitely going to go back and revisit some of those older albums.
Yeah, you should. Wages of Sin and Anthems of Rebellion are fucking absolute ironclad classics. Shout out Tribulation as well, who supported them. That is a band absolutely that have the tools to break out of the underground this year. They have a really good reception. Coco was already packed when they came on. That new album's great as well. So yeah, lots of exciting stuff going on there. Luke, you went somewhere else. What did you do this week? You went to Drab Majesty,
yeah.
What was that like?
Really, really good. Yeah, it's like, I don't know how to describe it really. Someone describes me as dark wave, and it's sort of like new order-y, bit post-punky, bit weird. But if you like Grave Pleasures, you'll probably dig it. It's like two-piece electronic and weird, but really fucking cool. It's a bit of a metal crowd there as well. Dude in a like Cannibal Corpse shirt, dude in a Harakiri for the Sky shirt, dude in a skinny puppy hoodie.
Nice.
And lots of hipsters, and I felt really uncool.
Where was the gig?
Moth Club. So
I've never even heard of it. Fuck, where's that?
It's near Hackney Central Station.
Oh, there you go then.
So,
it is amazing, like when there's a metal gig in Hackney, the hipsters just come out like you've never seen before.
Non-Londoners, so that's East London.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hipsterville.
Soz. Oh God, have London with me. There's a lot of... I'm sure we will get the chance to talk about this a bit more as the year progresses, but there's a lot of that kind of more electronic, heavy stuff going on in the scene right now that metalheads are all over. I'm all about it. Good week for gigs, generally speaking. What else has been going on? I suppose we're going to talk about this Reading and Leeds lineup. That'll do.
Yeah, the end of conversation.
Yeah, Reading and Leeds finally felt like they held off for a while announcing it this year. February's quite late in the day, I think.
Considering Download's announced, obviously Download happens before Reading, but Download have announced, what, over 50 bands now.
Yeah.
And Reading have only just announced their bands. But obviously they're not the same festival, but...
Well, I mean, the first point is, we should get into this properly, really. I guess the main point everyone's got with this lineup is that it's just not... It's not very rock, let alone not very metal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, where do we stand on where Reading is? Do you like the lineup? I mean, I know it's not really very far in Hammer's world this year so far, but...
Yeah, I think it's good they got a variety of bands. It's just really, like I said, it's not rock, it's not metal. There's a lot of pop in it. I think everyone's objecting to, like, the big pop artists, but... Personally, I really like Dua Lipa, so
yeah.
Well, I'm happy with that.
I'm interested to see what Kendrick brings to a crowd like that on that kind of festival. So
I think it is just lots of new current music, but nothing. There's no one really huge apart from the headliners, and it isn't really going in a particular direction. It's just kind of stuff that's popular.
I'm sort of surprised at Kings of Leon. Maybe. Like, I know I'm not, I don't live in that world, so
well,
I'm sort of surprised to go, oh, they're still here. But when you got Kendrick, it's the only headline that I'm bothered about out of all of it.
Well, yeah. I think with Kings of Leon, I guess, for, I mean, there's no, we're not going to talk about this stuff all podcast because it's not our crowd, but
no.
I kind of assumed that for a certain demographic, Kings of Leon have kind of become a bit of a heritage act now.
Yeah, I guess they're still like, they, you know, they're like the Killers, you know, just a big band that have always been there. But
the Killers are nostalgic, guys.
Fucking hell. Well, Hot Fuss came out in, what, 2005 or something?
Yeah, let's not.
But yeah, like you say, there's no metal been announced yet. I'm sure the, what's it called, the lockup stage and the pit will announce at some point. And
yeah, that's
and
always got a great line up.
Yeah.
But it's just, I mean... I'm getting a bit fed up with the way people react to stuff like Reading and Leeds now, because I've seen all over my Facebook, all over Twitter, people posting lineups of Reading 1980 or Reading 2005 or 99 or whatever, and going, oh, it's not like this anymore. And I just think, look, Reading has always been a youth-oriented festival, and the reality is that right now, really heavy music is not permeating the mainstream in as significant a way as it was 15 years ago or 30 years ago or whatever. It's just not. And I think if you're a rock fan on any level and you've got Download, Bloodstock, Stone Free, Damnation, Slam Dunk, I don't really understand what you've got to complain about that you're not getting to see Napalm Death at Reading this year, or Whitesnake or Limp Bizkit or whoever it is you want to see. Like, I don't understand what people are so pissed off about. I don't get it. Like, yeah, it's a shame that we're not getting to see our bands kind of permeate that kind of more mainstream side of the game at the moment, but if you want to see rock music, you are spoiled for choice. Like, you have no excuse to not see not go to a festival with bands you like this year if you're able to do so.
Yeah, I think if you want to see, you know, it's a shame that, oh, Metallica aren't doing a big festival this year, so yeah. And what I think a lot of people are annoyed that because Mike Henn didn't get announced, everyone seemed to think that was going to happen. But I'm not that bothered if there's no big metal headliner at Reading. But at the same time, it's not, like I say, it's not our crowd. And most people I saw complaining are people that probably aren't going to pay to get in. All the people that I saw complaining, or weren't complaining, but all the fans seemed fucking stoked on it.
At the end of the day, though, it's casual music fans as well, isn't it? It's the popular stuff, the stuff in the charts. Even the stuff from our world, it's Papa H, Beartooth, you know, bands that go on and just do a really good show, really high energy. It's kind of, that's what it is.
Yeah, it is. I think someone's got a good question about Reading and Lee's letter that we'll come back to. But yeah, as we mentioned, I'm sure there's more rock bands to be announced. But if you're not happy about it, just shut the fuck up and go somewhere else. What else is going on? Parkway Drive are back in the studio.
Yes.
Fuck yes. So excited for this. There really aren't many albums I'm more ready for in 2018, the Parkway Drive album. Don't know if there's anything to add to that, really. Bring it on.
I'm excited as well. That's all I've got to add. It's going to be really cool. I love the shows that they played last time around as well, with the fire and the drummer with the giant wheel that he was going around in. That was very good. They're going to play Download as well, so it's going to be really good.
I believe in Parkway Drive. What else is going on? What else has happened?
James Hetfield is making his acting debut, I believe, in a movie about Ted Bundy.
Starring Zac Efron.
As Ted Bundy.
You need the whole sentence because it gets more and more insane as you go on. James Hetfield is starring as a sheriff in a movie about Ted Bundy starring Zac Efron.
And Zac Efron is Ted Bundy.
Yeah, he is Ted Bundy.
And the film is told from his girlfriend's perspective. That's the whole spin on it.
I didn't know that. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, I mean, cool. Good for James.
Which one was Ted Bundy?
I don't know.
So
one of those cunts.
He killed people between, something like 30 people between 1974 and 1978.
Just L to know this.
And, why?
Serial killer editor L, what do you think?
And he also, I think it was something like, he got apprehended in like 79 and he got sentenced to death and he died in like 89.
But
they
he wasn't
executed
the one
him.
Just roughly, rough outline there, specific dates. I don't know, but
I was looking
it
up.
One of the horrible bastards.
Men.
He did horrible things across several states, murders.
Interesting. Well, yeah, the serial killer stuff is very big news at the moment in film and TV. So there you go. Zac Efron, don't know. I mean, maybe he'll be great.
It's worth mentioning that it's being directed by Joe Berlinger, who did Some Kind of Monster.
Ah, that's interesting.
Hetfield connection comes in. So they've worked together before.
Interesting. And to be fair, if there's one guy in the history of heavy metal that I can definitely envision as a shit-kicking sheriff, it's James Hetfield. Like, if there was a role he was born to play, it's with that cowboy hat and big old sheriff
star. He looks really sheriffy in that picture.
Super sheriffy. 10 sheriffs out of 10.
Yeah.
In shit news, Glenn Tipton has been diagnosed. Well, I think he had been kind of battling Parkinson's for a while, and now it's got to the point where he's officially had to kind of step back from full-time touring duties with Judas Priest, which sucks and it's awful. There's nothing you can really add to that sentiment other than it's just absolute bollocks that I can't imagine what it must be like for a guitar player to have to go through something like that. And I think it's absolutely amazing and a real testament to the man that he's come straight out and said, I want Priest to carry on playing. They've got Andy Sneap, who produced the album, is a brilliant guitarist in his own right. He's going to be filling in on a lot of dates. It really sucks, especially when people hear what's coming from Priest this year, because it's really special.
The album kills.
It's quite nice that they said that they want to make it so that he can come on and play the odd song. You know, they're going to bring his kit there and they want him to be there and he can maybe play like a couple of songs. You know, he's said he sort of hasn't got the stamina and the strength to do the whole set, but you know, hopefully he'll be making an appearance anyway.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where there's always, I think metal fans are very quick to jump on bands when they decide to change up lineups or move on without members that have quit or passed away or can't continue or whatever. But to me, this is an ironclad example of, you know, he's not able to play full time. He is still absolutely a part of Judas Priest and what they are in 2018. And we're still going to get the chance to hear some new music and some great pre-shows, which I think is, you know, you can't really argue with that. And I know that, Luke, you actually got to chat to Robin Ian about what's going on with Glenn right now.
Yeah, I met up. I went to go interview Rob and Ian from Priest on Monday to talk about... Well, it was originally obviously to talk about the upcoming album and everything else, but it was on the same day it was announced that Glenn was stepping back, and we had a bit of a chat about how the decision was made and what happened and how everyone feels about it, and obviously that it's not clear to point out that Glenn is not leaving. This is Andy Sneap's just filling in on tour and everything else, but you can listen to Rob and Ian talk about that right now.
It's also been announced today that Andy's replacing Glenn as the touring guitarist due to his Parkinson's diagnosis.
Yes.
Where were you when you found out about the diagnosis and what went through your mind?
Well, as we said in the statement, Glenn's been battling with this since for 10 years, man. He's been touring for 10 years, he's been writing for 10 years, recording for 10 years. And it was only until last Thursday that he came to the conclusion that it was not going to be. And this is typically Glenn. I can't do this because it's not right for the band, not right for me. It was, I think if I go out, it's not going to be right for the band. Mm. So he's always thought about the band, always about the band first, you know. Yeah. So we know how difficult it was for him to make that decision, and I think we're all relieved that he's been able to find some balance and harmony in making that decision, because we all feel...
We went through a similar thing at the start of the last tour. obviously we're talking 4 years ago here, you know, when we were going through the same process we'd just been through, we just band rehearsals with the five of us in the live room. And when he started then, he was shaky, and you know, but the thing was, as we went through, he was getting better and better and better every day, and at the end of the second week, he was ready to go, and he put in a superb performance on the last tour. Mm-hmm. And we were all sort of hoping that was going to happen again. But after the first week, it was obvious to all of us that he wasn't getting any better, you know. But Glenn being Glenn, he's nothing unless he's a scrapper. Glenn, he will fight tooth and nail to make it happen. And in the middle of last week, the middle of the last week of rehearsals, he had to admit it. We were all hearing this, and we were living it with him. We felt every note, you know. And he came in and he made the bravest decision anybody will ever make, saying, "I can't do it anymore." You know, I'm getting knuckles at the back of my neck now. Just when he said it, you know, there wasn't a dry eye in the control room where we were sitting at the time. But it was just, he can't do it. It's not like he's been stupid and fell off his motorbike or got whacked out on some drug. You know what I mean? It's not a decision he's made, a stupid decision. It's he can't do it. And he was saying, guys, he said, my brain is telling my hands to do something and they're not doing it. And he had to admit that to himself as well as us, you know. Now, having said that, he will be showing up on tour and playing the odd song with us. When he was doing the albums, he was fine. He was okay for 10 minutes or so to run through a song. But standing for 2 hours, you know, after a while, you could see he wasn't, you know, he got no sort of stamina there. But who knows? But the strides are being made in medical science all the time, you know. So we're all hoping, praying that somewhere along the line somebody comes up with something that'll at least control his symptoms, if nothing else, you know. And he can get out and at least play through a few songs with us on stage, you know. Well, all his gear's going along with us, his guitars are going, you know. So, and it was sad, you know, like I say, it was really sad.
So, of course, it's important to point out that Glenn hasn't left the band at all. Yeah, it's Sneap's just the touring guitarist. Yeah, Glenn could come back.
Andy himself, you know, he said, "You've got a great replacement for the time being here, you know." Which surprised Andy. What? But Glenn's going back and he's starting writing the next album, you know. That was the thing. He said, "Oh, yeah, I've got a few ideas." And he's going to be carrying on, you know. He's going to carry on.
It's a great, again, much like we were referencing earlier, Luke, about the way Priest makes you feel musically. It's empowering, it's uplifting. This is what the experience has been like with Glenn. He's, as horrible as it's been, he's always been consistently upbeat. It's not going to defeat me. And he hasn't defeated him. He's just playing the guitar a bit differently now. So I think as far as the fact of what... You just say that word Parkinson's, and I think everybody in this country, probably around the world, know somebody that's had Parkinson's or friend of a friend, and they just they know when that word hits you, you know exactly what that person is going through. So in terms of being a hero, not only for Glenn but for everybody else that are living an effective life with Parkinson's, I think it's just remarkable. It's just a great moment for Glenn and for metal, really, in that respect.
That was Luke talking to Rob and Ian from Judas Fucking Priest, who are back this year with a new album that you will be wanting to hear. You can trust me on that. It was Tinnitus Awareness Week last week, which is something we thought might be worth kind of talking about a bit on the podcast, because we've all kind of recently upgraded our earplugs, which is super rock and roll to be admitting on the Metal Hand podcast. But it's something that we've all talked about in the office a lot, and it's something that affected you, Al, quite significantly last year. Do you want to kind of talk about your experiences of tinnitus and you know, why we're kind of at the point now where we think we should be shining a bit more of a light on what's going on there?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I've actually had tinnitus for 16 years now. Very low level, didn't bother me too much. I got it when I was in school watching a Linkin Park covers band in my school hall.
Wow.
Which is obviously the best way.
Yeah, not the most rock and roll way to get tinnitus.
The best way to get tinnitus. And yeah, I, you know, obviously went to the doctor. They said that nothing could be done about it. There's no cure. Just kind of get on with things. And ever since that happened, I've always worn earplugs to loud places and to gigs to make sure that I'm not going to get any more damage. But unfortunately, last year I had an ear infection and my tinnitus increased in volume. So I freaked out a little bit, went back, saw some more doctors, and kind of, you know, got the infectional fix and everything. But the tinnitus still remains, which I think is the same for a lot of people in the rest of the country. So tinnitus is estimated to affect 6 million people in the country, which is 10% of the population. But, you know, there is no cure, but the good news is there are ways to manage it, like wearing earplugs and other things. So I think, as one of the doctors said to me, don't catastrophise. It's not the end of the world if it happens to you, you know.
But it can be quite, it can still be quite scary, because weirdly, after you went through all that stuff last year, I mean, I remember you were at Bloodstock and you were wearing headphones and you ended up having to leave early because it was like really overpowering,
yeah,
and all this kind of stuff. And weirdly, a matter of weeks after that, I mean, I've always had very, very mild tinnitus. Thank you, Machine Head, on the blackening for that. But yeah, recently for me as well, it started to get really bad now, to the point where I literally can't sleep some nights now because I've got this insane ringing in my ear. And it's just, I've talked to a few people about this, and people really don't seem to realise just how important it is that you do protect your ears when you're going to gigs, because
once that
shit sets in, it's not going anywhere. And I mean, like Elle said, you can deal with it and there's ways to manage it. But, you know, I mean, I'm 31, like, and now I've got to a point where I feel like I've kind of got something which I'm probably going to, it's only going to get worse if it doesn't get better. So it's just, I don't know, it's something people really should start taking a bit more seriously. And there doesn't seem to be a discourse about it in medicine at all at the moment.
No, and that's the process that I went through. As you said, I was really quite shaken up last year after my tinnitus got louder and I went to Bloodstock. And because I had this ear infection, they advised me to wear these over-ear ear protectors, which were really stupid looking, but I sucked it up and I was like, oh, I need to wear these, you know.
Yeah, you did look pretty stupid.
I know. Thanks, guys. Always good to know you got my back. They look really stupid, but, you know, I was like, I don't care, I'm going to wear them because I want to protect my ears. They're already a bit fucked. And actually, I just felt that, like, they didn't do as good a job as the in-ear ones. And I came back and I could hear the ringing really loudly and I did freak out. And for a few months after that, I didn't want to go to any gigs because I was worried about my ear and I was waiting for appointments for stuff. So it isn't a good place to be in. I think it's natural as well that you kind of go through this panic and sort of a little bit of grief maybe about like what you've lost. You know, you kind of, if you have lost a bit of hearing, but at the same time, I think it is important to remain really positive as well, because it doesn't mean you have to stop doing the things you like. It just means that you have to be very, very aware. And I was just a bit unlucky in that I got this infection and it got louder, but with proper protection, which I've been doing for years anyway, it shouldn't get any worse. So I think, yeah, if you haven't got any earplugs and you're going to shows all the time, please think about getting earplugs, because you don't want to get tinnitus or hearing loss, because it sucks.
Yeah, it fucking sucks. And yeah, like, don't mess around. If you're thinking about getting something, like, if you're thinking about, you know, spending a bit of extra money if you can on some good hearing protection, go and do it. It's not very rock and roll to say it, but trust me, you don't want to be living with this shit all the time.
And
it sucks.
Go and see someone if you're freaking out as well. If you've got tinnitus and you're freaking out and you can't sleep and it's making you feel bad, there are certain therapies that they can do. And also, just, you want to have your ears checked out properly. Maybe it's noise damage. It could be an underlying condition. I'm going to get an MRI just to see what the inside of my ear looks like. That's going to be exciting. So can't wait for that.
Good, good. Lovely stuff. Yeah, look after your ears, people. And if you're having problems, go sort them out immediately. Our wonderful readers on the Metal Hammer Readers Facebook page, go look it up and join us, have been sending in some questions. What are they asking us?
Marco LG asks, what is your favourite album of the year so
now,
far?
Mate, it's February, chill out.
I know. barely 2 months.
I don't like this question, because I just feel like...
Well, you've got to answer it,
there's not enough
Marco
time.
Marco wants to know.
There's not enough time. I need more time.
You've really been listening to music this year. What have you been listening to?
I mean, it's... For albums that are out there now, you know, we're lucky enough to hear a lot of stuff in advance, of course. Conjurer is kind of right up there for
yeah.
me. I think that's going to be the album that a lot of people are talking about come the end of the year, in terms of, you know, debuts that are going to get people excited and doing something interesting. I'm going to say, actually, just to tie into what we were saying earlier, I think when people hear this Judas Priest album, they are not going to be ready for it.
They are going to shit.
They are going to shit. All I'll say is that for now is that Sneap, Andy Sneap has been producing it, and he did the same thing for Megadeth's Endgame, and to me he's done the, he's worked it again, like this is Priest's Endgame, and it's gonna, it's, yeah,
they recorded it live as a band as well, yep, for the first time, which I think you can tell,
yep,
there's some serious energy going on,
definitely there. So yeah, two ends of the scale to me. One not out yet, but I'm pretty confident it will stay out there at the end of the year, and the Conjurer album as well, yep, both British metal, yeah.
Conjurer album is obviously amazing. I don't think it's out there yet, but it will be soon, next week maybe.
Oh, I thought it came out now.
I don't know, maybe it's out soon. Good. ASAP.
Actually, you're right, the Conjurer album, I just remembered, it got put back, didn't it? It's out
March the something.
Is that a thing?
A Friday in March it's out.
We've done our research. Well, so, it just got put back, that's why I checked up, but yeah. Yeah, it's good as
that,
well.
That will be good.
Get ready for that.
But yeah, the Harm's Way record is probably the best hardcore record of the year so far.
It's fucking that came out last
great.
Week. Didn't
yeah, it came brilliant. Out last week. And yeah, it's just a beast of a record. It's just like a really heavy, aggro, hardcore record with some nice industrial bits.
Lovely.
Which is really, really cool. And the Watain album's great. Because
oh, the Watain. God, yeah. It's been such a good year already. I've almost forgot about the Watain album. That yeah. Slays. Right, come on, Al. You've had us rambling now. You've got to choose.
Fine. I really like the Tesseract album, Sonder, but it's not out yet. Sorry.
And then another British metal album.
Apart from that, though, if I'm going to have to pick something that's literally come out in the last 6 weeks, I know it's controversial, but I'm just going to pick Machine Head Catharsis.
Ooh, interesting.
I like it. I do. I think the first half is much better than the second half, but yeah, I've still listened to it a lot, so
yeah,
still
cool.
Like it.
Someone did ask us last week, we didn't get round to answering what we thought about... What we thought about Catharsis, it's easily the most opinion-splitting album that's come out in our world this year so far. To be honest, if you haven't read Al's review, you can still find it on the Hammer site now, and it is well worth going into, because I think you summed up, to be honest. Andrew Cleary asks, In the Hammer Presents Tour featuring Trivium, Code Orange, Powerchip, and Venom Prison, just pause and admire that lineup for a second.
Yeah. Drink it in.
Yeah. Which set are you most looking forward to? This is like choosing between kids.
It is.
My kids.
Yeah.
Just to be clear.
Or like if you had four pets you really loved.
Yeah, exactly.
You had to pick one of them.
I mean, I think if we're talking about the most hyped band on that tour, I think Code Orange are the band that, you know, people are talking about. They've had the Grammy nomination in the last few weeks and stuff. So there's a lot of people talking about that. I think in terms of a real, like, fuck yeah moment, I think what I'm most looking forward to actually is getting to see Venom Prison walk out on stage at Brixton Academy. Like, a British death metal band who I actually remember the day, oh God, I guess it was 18 months ago now, that Luke actually turned around to everybody in the office and said, have you heard this album that's just come in? And to go from that moment to see that band having gone on Bloodstock's main stage, and, you know, they just booked their first US tour and everything else, to see them walk out in front of 5,000 people is going to be amazing. Yeah. So I'm very excited for that.
Yeah, it'd be the biggest venue, I think. Yeah, well, Venom Prison, Powerchip and Code Orange would have ever played in the UK.
Yep.
Which is mental.
And the biggest headline set Trivium have done for a few years now as well.
Yeah, yeah, completely. What, the Roundhouse last time?
Yeah.
And yeah, Brixton's twice that.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, I think I'm most excited about Code Orange, probably. I love Venom Prison, but I've seen them a million times since last year, and each time they kill it, but I've only seen Code Orange once since they released Forever, and I need to see it again.
I agree,
but can we also remember how good Trivium's album is, because obviously it came out end of last year, so it kind of got a little bit missed probably in the Christmas rush.
It did, didn't it?
But
yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah, it's brilliant, and the best thing they've done in years and years and years. It's an absolutely unbelievable metal album.
And my favourite track on there, Sever the Hands. I'm very excited about hearing that.
Soon as that question came up, I was going to squeeze in a Sever the Hand reference.
It's a great song.
It's a brilliant song.
If you missed it at the end of last year, though, Sin in the Sentence, please listen to it.
And obviously, it goes without saying, if you're yet to check out any of those bands, check them out. Go and buy a ticket. There's still tickets on sale for some of those dates in your April. It's going to be the tour of the year. We're calling it now. We can't fucking wait.
James Keel asks, in relation to the recent Reading and Leeds announcement, what bands from our world would you suggest they book to play the main stage as a representation of our scene? Would you choose bands to try and win over Charlie Casual?
Charlie Casual. I hate that guy.
In their Courtenay shirts, or pick bands with such an extreme level of heaviness that you know would intentionally irritate or provoke the shit out of them?
So I guess for this, this is not thinking of Reading as we remember it, where it was a very, it was a much more mixed festival and heavy music had a real presence. We're treating Reading as the extremely mainstream, slanted Kings of Leon headlined festival it is today. So, I don't know. I mean, part of me just thinks it would be cool to give something, everybody something really interesting and different, like Baby Metal or Ghost, put Baby that Metal, on the main stage.
You can't ignore saying, that stuff really, can you? I mean, you might not like it, but you're probably going to have a reaction to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you'll see it happening and be like, what is this? Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. I think both those bands have played before already.
A Ghost, not on the main stage, but I was there when Baby Metal did the main stage. And yeah, that was one of the biggest crowds that turned up that day. It was insane.
So yeah, that would be interesting. Or you just go the other way and you just think, screw it, just put...
Cannibal Corpse on.
Yeah, Cannibal Corpse or Gore Guts or like Ingested. Just stick them on in between like... a couple of Grimax and see what happens.
It's a weird one, because I remember when... Were you there when Skindred played the main stage?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Went, that was a good year.
That was great.
Wasn't that the year where System played and were really good as well?
Was Skindred no.
I think Parkway were on that day, though. Am I getting mixed up? I'm sure Skindred and Parkway played the same day.
Maybe they played twice. I'm thinking of 2013 when Eminem headlined and all that.
No, I'm thinking...
Maybe it was like 2 years ago. Yeah. I think it was the same day as Dientwood.
But Skindred can make a funeral fun. Like, they are just the best.
What?
The kids, like, yeah. They're just the best. They are just one of the best live bands of all time.
Yeah. And I think if any, you could put that as a representation of our scene at any festival. Everyone goes, oh, actually, metal's quite fun, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, I mean, they've done Bloodstock as well, a completely different crowd. Mm. Again, and you wouldn't really think to put them there. And. It's just a good
put
thing.
Them on at Glastonbury. Get them on BBC TV.
Yeah. How have they not done Glastonbury? Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Who do you pick up?
This is really stupid, but I'm
just going to get
Trivium.
I'd love to see it like at Bloodstock on an afternoon. They always put someone on that's a bit stupid, like Corpiclani. I'd love to just put them on and have them do like happy
folk metal.
Happy Little Boozer or something.
Yeah, that can work. That would definitely confuse people.
It would confuse people a lot.
I'd back that. Folk metal for Reading, let's make it happen.
Stick Evil Scarecrow on.
Exactly.
Tristan Chamberlain asks, if everyone at Metal Hammer had to collectively pick a favourite band, who would it be?
So across the whole team?
Yeah, I guess the one band that we all agree on.
I think
Let's discount Metallica, because
that's the obvious.
If you don't like metal and if you like metal and you don't like Metallica, what are you doing? I think everyone likes Maiden to a degree, probably not quite the same degree.
Eleanor's not a massive Maiden fan.
I've got you. Yeah, I took you to see Maiden. You had a good time last year.
I had a really good
remember
time.
That help? Remember that when we sang along and climbed like a monkey? Remember? That was good.
To be fair,
what would we all go and see if they were playing?
I think there's
on Friday
two.
Night?
I think there's two bands that I can think of in recent memory: Mercury and Grave Pleasures.
Blind
because
themselves.
We can put that out in the office and everyone will like it and maybe even sing to it.
Yeah, no, you're right. But yeah, we all love the Mercury album.
Yeah,
we all really like the Great Pleasures album. I kind of feel like Parkway are getting there for us as well, because everyone liked that last album.
Yeah.
Even Jonathan Seltzer likes.
Even Seltzer.
Extreme Man, yeah.
Our Subterranean editor and living extreme legend Seltzer backed it as well. But again, Parkway are one of those bands where if you don't go see them live and think they're brilliant at what they do, then you just don't know what you're talking about.
You have no soul.
You have no soul. So yeah, that would be a bill we'd all go see. Parkway, Mercury, Great Pleasures. Fuck yeah. We started to read this next question out until Luke realised he put it down wrong. Adam Turner asks, we thought Adam Turner had asked us for the Mount Rushmore of heavy metal and rock. Must be a frontman, lead guitarist, bass guitarist, and a drummer. No double picking, so you can't pick Lemmy to be frontman and bass or whatever. What we didn't realise at first was that Adam wanted this to be specifically British, so we've just done some last minute scrabbling, and here's what we came up with. This is our Mount Rushmores of British heavy metal and rock, basically supergroups, one person per instrument. I've just gone full metal, possibly the most metal supergroup ever. Rob Halford on vocals, Tony Iommi on guitar, Lemmy on bass, Nicka McBrain on drums. That is a band I would listen to.
Sick.
Except I'm not metal enough, so that's mine. What are you saying, guys?
Have you got yours, Daniel?
British Mount Rushmore.
I'm still kind of scrabbling around a little bit.
Where are you at?
Frantically Googling the word British drummer.
Basically. I'm going to go with Tony Iommi. Did you just pick him as well?
I did, that's fine.
A guitar.
He's a good choice.
I'm going to pick Dan Searle on drums.
Nice.
I'm going to pick Jeff Walker on bass. Shut up. And I'm going to pick...
I'm just thinking what this would sound like.
I'm going to pick Dan Tompkins on vocals.
Oh my god, that is the wildest supergroup ever.
It'd be great. So it's basically...
What would it sound like?
It's basically Sabbath, Architects, Carcass and Tesseract.
Like gently Sabbath riffs over blast beats with Dan Tompkins singing.
His voice is very versatile.
What a band. Luke?
Mine's not that metal really, except I don't know if it's very metal. But Sam Carter on vocals.
Nice. Compact with that, really.
Geezer Butler on bass, because I wanted to pick Iommi, but I thought also, everyone else was picking Iommi.
Also, and arguably the most underrated member of Black Sabbath.
Yeah,
like, Geezer Butler is phenomenal.
Yeah, he's amazing. On guitar, I went for David Gilmour, because I love Floyd.
Wow.
And I think it would be wicked.
I wasn't expecting that.
And John Bonham on drums. So basically, it's going to be expansive guitars with Sabbath riffs and then just Sam screaming over it. Post-metal, I'm hoping it's going to be.
Who made the best Mount Rushmore supergroup? Let us know on the Metal Hammer Readers Facebook group or on Twitter.
They're all going to sound awful.
Just how much was it? Mine is. It mine will sound sick.
Yeah. I'm really excited about mine, actually.
Good for you.
Can we do our American ones next time?
No. Well, maybe. Thank you very much for listening in, everybody. It's been a pleasure. We will be with you next week at the same time on Thursday, as always. Don't forget to go and pick up the new issue of Metal Hammer. It features killer interviews with the likes of Nightwish, Arch Enemy, Epica, Venom Prison, Oceans of Slumber, Black Moth, and many, many, many more. Luke's going to see Eamon Ra tomorrow. That should be good.
It's going to be nice and bleak.
Good. Can't wait to hear about that all next week. And we will see you then. Stay safe, stay metal. See you later, guys.
See ya. Bye.